Then answered him the Gerenian horseman Nestor. Well, I will tell you all the truth, my child. Indeed, you yourself guess how it had fallen out if the son of Atreus, light-haired Menelaus, had found Aegisthus living in the palace when he returned from Troy. Then over dead Aegisthus men had heaped no mound of earth, but dogs and birds had feasted on him, lying on the plain outside the town. And no Achaean woman had made lament for him, for monstrous was the deed he wrought. At Troy we tarried, bringing to fulfillment many toils, while he, at ease, hidden in grazing Argos, strove hard to win the wife of Agamemnon by his words. At first, indeed, she scorned ill-doing, this royal Clytemnestra, being of upright mind. Moreover, a bard was with her, whom the son of Atreus strictly charged to guard his wife. But when at last the doom of gods constrained her to her ruin, then did Aegisthus take the bard to a lone island and leave him there, the prey and prize of birds, while her, as willing as himself, he led to his own home. And many a thigh piece did he burn upon the sacred altars of the gods, and many an offering render, woven stuffs and gold, at having achieved a deed so great as never in his heart he thought to see. Now, as we came from Troy, the son of Atreus and myself set sail together, full of loving thoughts. But when we were approaching sacred Sunion, a cape of Athens, Phoebus Apollo smote the helmsman of Menelaus and slew him with his gentle arrows while he held the rudder of the running ship within his hands. Phrontis it was, Onetor's son, one who surpassed all humankind in piloting a ship when winds are wild. So Menelaus tarried, though eager for his journey, to bury his companion and to pay the funeral rites. But when he also, sailing in his hollow ships over the wine-dark sea, reached in his course the steep height of Melia, from that point on far-seeing Zeus gave him a grievous way. He poured forth blasts of whistling winds and swollen waves as huge as mountains. Dividing the ships, he brought a part to Crete, where the Sidonians dwelt around the streams of Iardanus. Here is a cliff smooth and steep toward the water, at the border land of Gorton, on the misty sea, where the south wind drives heavy waves against the western point toward Phestus. And this small rock holds back the heavy waves. Some came in here, the men themselves hardly escaping death, their ships, the waves, crushed on the ledges. But the five other dark-bowed ships, wind and wave, bore to Egypt. So Menelaus gathered there much substance and much gold, coasting about on shipboard to men of alien speech. And all this time at home Aegisthus foully plotted. Slaying the son of Atreus, he reigned 7 years in rich Mycenae. The people were held down, but in the eighth ill came. For royal Orestes came from Athens and slew the slayer, wily Aegisthus, who had slain his famous father. The slaughter done, he held a funeral banquet for the Argives over his hateful mother and spiritless Aegisthus. And on that selfsame day came Menelaus, good at the war cry, bringing a store of treasure, all the freight his ships could bear.